This is SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
You had best sound off that you love the Virgin Mary, or I'm going to stomp your guts out. Now, you do love the Virgin Mary, don't you?
Sir, negative, sir!
Private Joker, are you trying to offend me?
Sir, negative, sir! Sir, the private believes that any answer he gives will be wrong, and the senior drill instructor will beat him harder if he reverses himself, sir!
Who's your squad leader, scumbag?
Sir, the private squad leader's private...
Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us right now, the doctor of bracketology, he's Professor Chris Daubertin, SB Nation. What's going on, Chris?
Just trying to make sense of this bubble and wondering how many teams I'm going to get spectacularly wrong today.
All right, is it a pink bubble? Is it a blue bubble? Is it a purple bubble? What kind of bubble is it?
It is a very large, all-encompassing bubble.
It's rainbow bubble.
Muddy bubble.
It's the dirty bubble from SpongeBob. These are the horrible things that come through my head. All right, Chris, let's right now, your number ones are?
My number ones are Virginia, Villanova, Kansas, and Xavier. I pretty much last night sewed everything up. Really, Friday night sewed everything up for the most part. And we just had kind of a couple things to kind of worry about in terms of the order of Villanova, Kansas, and if, you know, maybe Duke could have jumped up and taken Xavier. But really, since Friday, we've been set.
All right, Chris, I need you to explain some things to me because I don't remember this from when I was a younger man, but I also understand, you know, brain injuries. In the East, why is there an East Regional in Boise, Idaho?
Okay, because back in 2001, there was a situation where a whole bunch of East Coast teams got shipped out to Boise, curiously enough. Because back in those days, you were pretty much locked into only the top two teams in a region could go and stay in that region. But even then, you had a little more restriction in terms of how soon teams from particular conferences can meet and how soon teams could meet who played in the regular season and the non-conference can meet. So they decided after that they were going to break things up. They were going to have the eight sites put two individual four-team pods in each of those sites, not tied to specific regions, to allow more teams to play closer to home during the first weekend. So that's why, for example, we have in the South region right now, Charlotte, San Diego, Nashville, and Detroit are represented when really only two of those cities are in the South.
Yeah, San Diego in the South? Because I'm looking at, you know, teams that could be in that particular region, Ohio State, Buffalo, Texas Tech, Greensboro, none of those universities are anywhere near San Diego.
Yeah, but the thing is you have there are so many things that go into building a bracket, and you know, trying to keep teams a closer home is important, but you also want to try to avoid rematches and try to get the best matchups you possibly can. But really, over the past few years, geography has become a little bit more important. But when you have a country that is largely populated in the East and the South, you're going to have to get some Eastern and Southern and Midwestern teams sent out West. That's just how it works.
It's just one of those things that just doesn't – it's one of those – this makes no sense. If we're going to do that, why even have regional geographic brackets and not just break them down to just four brackets and they're going to play wherever?
Yeah, that would make more sense, but they also want to try to have the tournament spread around the country and relatively evenly, not have everybody's – you know, all the sites in the East or all the sites in the South, too.
All right. Talking to Chris Daubertin, SB Nation, bracketologist, college basketball. Chris, who are the teams, in your opinion, that about 7 o'clock Eastern today, the folks are going to be going crazy on social media that they are seeded too high?
I think Auburn, with the way that they've closed this year, has a bit of an issue. I think Arizona, because they played kind of poorly in November, I think that, you know, they're probably going to get a 3 seed. You're going to hear people say, but they were terrible early on, and haven't watched them really over the past month when they've really turned into a very dangerous team. Gonzaga probably, because, you know, it's like, oh, the WCC, they aren't as good as they were last year when they had a 1 seed and almost went undefeated. But honestly, once you get past line six, I don't think anybody's going to really be able to argue too much about their seed because the teams are so similar and just so average.
All right, who's looking at being seeded too low?
That's a good question. I think that Michigan State is probably one. I think you're going to hear a lot of complaints about that. They're probably going to end up being a three or a four when it's like, oh, they only lost four times. But, yeah, the Big Ten wasn't very good this year, and they didn't play as strong as of a non-conference schedule as they usually do. That's why they're a little bit lower. North Carolina could – I have North Carolina as a two. They could potentially flip down to a three. I think if Cincinnati loses today, they could flip down to a three. You know, and they're kind of in that four, five loss range, six loss range where it's like, why is this team kind of low? Wichita State, you know, in their first year in the American could get some of those questions. And Ohio State, I think, is another one out of the Big Ten who did pretty well, granted in a bad Big Ten, but they kind of distinguished themselves. They're going to probably look at a five or a six.
Chris Dobertine, SB Nation, covers college basketball, bracketology, as we get ready for a Selection Sunday coming up later on, actually right after this show. So, Chris, every bracket has a couple of teams that you say, wait, how did these guys not make the tournament? They had a better resume, a better record, a better this, a better that. Who are the best teams who are in danger of not making the field that probably should make the field?
I think you're probably going to hear the most because honestly, to me, everybody from seed 9 line all the way down to the first 8 teams out are on the bubble. And really, there's a good case can be made to leave every single one of those teams in, every one of those teams out. The ones you're probably going to hear the most about are Oklahoma State, just because, you know, they beat Kansas twice. They played really well down the stretch. Notre Dame, because Bonzi Colson's back, and they were playing better with him. But they didn't play as well with him when he was healthy in December. They lost a couple games to Indiana and Ball State, two teams who aren't even close to being considered for an at-large. And he played a lot of minutes and scored a lot of points in those games. Nebraska, because it's like, oh, they, you know, went 13-5 in the Big Ten. They should be automatic. Big Ten was bad this year. They won a whole lot of games outside of, you know, against teams outside of the top 100. Louisville, because Louisville, you know, didn't lose any bad games, but they only won, you know, five or six games against teams kind of around that 50 or 60 range in the RPI. They don't have a name brand name over a team like a Virginia or Duke or North Carolina they could have picked up in the ACC. And a couple of mid-majors in Middle Tennessee and St. Mary's, who, you know, did very well in the regular season, fell flat in their face in the conference tournament, and they're probably going to get punished for it.
All right, Chris, three conferences are, you know, that have some ranked teams playing their finals today, the SEC, Kentucky, and Tennessee. You've got the A-10 with Davidson and Rhodey, and you have the American with Cincy and Houston. Can any of those teams look at an up or a down movement in where they might go based on today's results?
It's going to be very hard just because of the late timing of these games. I thought Tennessee might have had a shot at getting up to that 2-line if they beat Kentucky. They aren't doing that right now. It's not going well for them. I think Kentucky, though, is probably going to stay on that 5-line because they, you know, they've got 10 losses already. Their record against the top tier isn't as great as you'd think it would be, but they're going to be a very dangerous 5-seed. Cincinnati, I think, is probably going to be stuck at a 2. If they lose that game, they might drop down to a 3, but I doubt it just because that game is literally at the last minute. And Houston could end up as a 5 if they win it, but again, the timing doesn't help. But that's a very solid team, I think, that's under a lot of people's radars.
Chris Dobertine, SB Nation, covers college basketball, breaking down the bracket. All right, so Chris, right now, if you said you had Virginia, Nova, Kansas, and Xavier as your ones, who do you have as your twos, and who is the strongest two?
All right, right now I have North Carolina, Duke, Purdue, and Cincinnati in that order. So that would be North Carolina with the top. But the top two, see, they were a team that, you know, kind of struggled kind of in the middle of the season. They lost a home game at Wofford over the winter break. They had a three-game losing streak in ACC play. But they're 14-8 against the top tier nationally against Group 1. You know, they beat Duke twice. They won at Tennessee, which, you know, at the time in December didn't look like that great of a win, but that's a really good win. You know, they beat Clemson. They beat Michigan at home in the Big Ten Challenge. You know, they beat Ohio State on neutral floor in New Orleans. They beat Miami, you know, in the ACC tournament. You know, you just kind of go through the list, and it's just a name brand list of wins that they have. And to me, that's a team rounding into shape that is going to be very dangerous, even with 10 losses. You know, they could repeat.
So you have Carolina as the best two seed. What bracket are they? Do you have them in? Who would they be matched up with as a 1-2?
Well, what happens is you know you can't put the best number one seed against the best number two seed. So they can't go to the South in Atlanta, which would be their closest region. So they're placed in the next closest region, which is the East. So they'd be paired up with Villanova. So they're, you know, another great storyline potentially.
Nova and Carolina in the same. So Nova would, quote unquote, get punished with the best number two seed.
Listen to this regional. Villanova, West Virginia, potentially in the semifinal on the one side, and the other side is Michigan State, North Carolina.
And that's a regional.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the rest, and it's like the others just can't really compare to that one in terms of sheer star power.
That's a pretty tough region. Now, in your opinion, what would you consider to be? I mean, I'm assuming that you're going to say the East is going to be the toughest region. Which would be the weakest region?
Well, kind of going by the calculations, to me, I really think that the South ends up being a pretty easy region for Virginia based on what I have, because their Sweet 16 game is Wichita State, which, you know, prepare, you know, wear your helmet for that game. And then on the other side, it's Tennessee and Purdue. So, you know, it's pick your poison, but really that's not quite the same as Villanova, West Virginia, Michigan State, North Carolina.
No, and Wichita State just lost to UH. And, you know, that's a much, much easier bracket than the East. That's, man, I tell you what, it's good to be the king and be on top, be number one, and get the easy side of it.
Yeah.
Chris Daubertine, SB Nation, covers college basketball. Chris, how can folks find you on Twitter?
At Chris Daubertine. Probably not so much tweeting today. Maybe kind of around the selection shows, I'll be kind of putting my last bracket together. And definitely when the tournament starts, I will definitely be a lot more active on Twitter than I will be tonight.
And your website?
At Blogging the Bracket, though SB Nation College Basketball works too.
Chris Daubertine, SB Nation Bracketology. Appreciate you joining us today, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you, Chris. So, Chris Daubertine, SB Nation, joining us on the hotline. This brackets, I tell you, some of these brackets are going to be crazy. And, you know, there's always the griping of, well, this team should have got in, how that team not get in. And, you know, you heard Chris talking about, you know, Tennessee was struggling against Kentucky. Well, they've cut it down to 5 with a little over 4 seconds to go in the first half. So that was a, you know, about a 10-point game, and now it's a 5-point game.
Well, I think you got to be watching watching the A-10 championship as well between Davidson and Rhode Island. That game just went to half. And then also the Ivy League. You got number one and two, Harvard and Penn. And, you know, that's going to be interesting because, you know, I got to imagine that, you know, you've got, well, two teams.
Well, they're only getting one team.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. And I don't think that either one of those teams would affect the bubble.
It's, 12 and a half seconds to go in that game, and Penn's up 3. So Penn's up on Harvard 68-65. Rhodey's 33-32 over Davidson at the half. And
I think that's a game that could affect the bubble more than anything. If they don't win, I mean, they're still going to get an at-large. But, I mean, if you're a lot of these teams on the bubble, you're certainly hoping for a Rhode Island win.
And Tennessee down 5 to Kentucky at the half, 36-31. So we'll wrap this up. When we come back next, SB Nation Radio.